All right, here we are. Hello. We're here on another Midwest Flyways podcast, and I'm here introducing the podcast tonight because Joey is getting ready to have a baby, so his mind is elsewhere, but he's here. So, Joey, welcome.
I simply can't yell in Spanish, mate. I can't yell in Espanol.
Dude.
Can't do it. I'm about to ride the wave that is birth.
Oh, yeah, mate.
About to ride that bloody wave.
That's crazy.
About to hold this little thing, cut an umbilical cord.
Oh, yeah.
She started having contractions about 4 hours ago.
Oh, yeah.
Called the midwives. They're like, don't come in yet. I'm like, all right, sounds good.
Joey, how you feeling, mate?
Anxious.
Oh, yeah.
Overwhelmed. Needing to take my mind off the subject.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, but for real, my wife's going to give birth tonight, for sure.
Yeah.
So she's taking a nap upstairs. I'm wondering why we're not there, you know? But everyone's like, no, you're good. So I'm
sure.
Like, okay, I guess we'll just hang out. So I'm like in this weird limbo.
Yeah, dude, maybe she's tricking you into like home birth.
Oh my God. That's so
prank
real.
Of the century.
Joey, we can't go. I'm really close. Go, great. You got your wish. Jackass. I'd be so pissed. Get
dude,
the tarp. Get the tarp.
Be the greatest prank. Got you, bro. Oh, that's awesome.
Makes sense. Her sister and her mom are here. They can help out. Oh, God.
Dude.
I'm getting punked.
You might be, bro.
I'm getting punked. Watch, you I'm not be. Even having a kid.
Oh. It's all a lie.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
No, so I'm about to have a son, guys. That's
yeah.
pretty cool. He might be a leap year baby.
Yep.
That'd be trippy. But, yeah, about to gain another hunting partner for the rest of my life, you know. Who knows? He's going to be just as bad as hunting as I am, maybe worse. You never know. So,
yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm pumped for you, dude.
I'm pretty stoked.
I can't believe we're doing a podcast and you're having a baby probably tonight.
You can't believe that with my wife?
I mean, I guess, but like...
You can't believe that.
It's freaking wild, dude.
What you got going
on
here, Kurt?
See, what happened was when you changed your scenario there, and now you're back over there. The whole thing.
Whatever.
He got up because, yeah.
Carter, sit down.
Your mic arm was in my
sit
face.
Sit down.
Which, Carter, welcome.
Hello.
To the podcast.
Yep.
Nobody cares.
Yep.
Anyway.
Land of no responsibilities.
Yep. Talk about real shit.
How's no responsibility life over there, dude? Is it going good?
What is going on?
He's like asking you questions. I was like, nah, let's talk about real shit. Anyway.
Joey's laughing at his own joke.
That was for Mr. Deny. That one was for him.
Lucas.
Yes.
Yep.
It's unreal. Actually, this podcast, a little bit, we're going to talk to Carter and get just
only
kind of.
Only a little bit.
Only a little bit. Yeah, just part of it. But that leads us into great segment of learning about Carter and his background a little bit.
We have had Carter on this podcast for about 8 months, Carter.
Yeah, something like that.
Carter, Quabby, Coda.
Yep.
And you're pretty new to the industry, right?
Yep, 2-3 years, 4 years.
2-3 years. We wanted to talk to you about how you got into doing what you're doing, because you're doing a lot of videography, photography, and now you're doing social media.
Media. Social media.
Now you're doing a lot of social media management.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Just... Why don't you give everyone a quick rundown? Because there's always so many people being like, well, how do I do that?
Yeah. I was, I'm a little younger than these old timers here, obviously. You can see in their face. COVID, I was graduating high school 2020, and we got the whole spring semester off because COVID, and our school wasn't good enough to give us laptops. So we just didn't have school for 3 months. So I just went and took pictures of
birds.
High school. Yep, high school. I just took pictures of birds because I had nothing else to do. I was laid off my job. So I just drove around because it was the spring migration coming back in. So I started taking pictures there, then went to college and liked taking pictures. So then I messaged some guys on Instagram just to go with them and hunt, take pictures for free. I know Matt Robertson was one of them, and, Graham Grathis with Maxed Out. Those were the two first. Sure.
Grethis.
I went to speech in high school. Thank you.
But you took 3 months off, obviously. So.
Yeah. So I did that for a whole season, just doing it for free for them and like, or really cheap, just paying for travel, just getting experience. Then the next year I started getting paid to do it, which was pretty cool. And then did that for the whole hunting season. It was just mostly photography at that point. No social media, no anything like that. And then this last May, I went on a couple hunts with Joey and the year before.
Yeah. Were you, like, I got to ask you. So were you just messaging, like, literally everybody you could think of? Were you just hitting everybody up on Instagram, like, yo, can I come out?
When I first started, when I was doing it for free, I messaged, like, the Minnesota guys that I knew of.
People local.
Met at Game Fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
That I knew I could go for a day trip and do it with them for free. And then the next year, my first year trying to do it and get paid, I messaged almost everyone I could find on Instagram.
Yeah.
Emails, calls, just trying to connect with people.
Yep.
Game Fair, any shows, just to meet people and try to get my name and my face, unfortunately, out there.
It's pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
I'm sorry about that.
I know. I'm sorry. And I went on a couple hunts with Joey doing stuff for Midwest Flyways in 2022.
Yeah, because you'd messaged us.
Mm-hmm.
I was 21, bro.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah. I think you're actually missing a year.
Probably.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So, because you had messaged us, and then we'd seen you at a couple shows, and you hit us up a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I knew of Joey and Rob, like, from Lauren and my dad. Like, I knew you guys, like, actually, not just online. And then I've met you guys at Game Fair a few times.
Yep.
Yep.
Then went on a few hunts, and then that May, you guys had an opening for a producer job that you kindly messaged me about or called me.
Yeah.
And this was my first time doing anything like that, but, I mean, you don't learn if you don't do it.
$20 is $20.
Yep, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy because, I mean, you hit us up a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, man, like, we only had, I think we only had Carter out before you started working for us on the podcast. I think we only had you come out with us twice that season.
Twice. Once in Wisconsin and once in Western Minnesota.
But, I mean, Carter would text me and he would just say, hey, man, just checking in, seeing how you're doing. You know, if you guys need anything, let me know. I'd love to work with you guys. I appreciated that. You know, like, I just appreciated that you were on top of it and you kept coming back and trying. Like, I think that a lot of guys get discouraged. You know, because if they try at first and it doesn't work out right away, they kind of think that's like a closed door.
Yeah, Carter's more of like a Thomas the Train.
I'm going to need an explanation.
Well, the body type.
Okay.
And then
yep.
Also you try.
Right.
And you achieve.
Yeah.
You know, I think I can. And then you're at the top of the hill.
Thanks.
Pulling a bunch of coal behind you. You're Thomas the Train.
Thanks.
Or TT.
Yep.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, 100%.
Persistence, man.
Yeah, I just think, I think that a lot of dudes do, though, get dismayed right away, and then they think it's over. And, like, when Carter would text us, like, we just didn't need somebody. You know what I mean? Like, if he was texting us and we didn't have anything, like, we just didn't need someone to come. But it didn't mean that we didn't see that Carter was trying to work with us.
No, yeah. No, I mean, I didn't know your quality or anything like that either. So I'm just like, who are you?
Yep.
You know? And then you got better. And then you kept messaging us. And then Connor got busier doing his own stuff. And then it's like, dude, we gotta pay freelancers to come and help us and come film some hunts. And you're fun to be around sometimes. And yeah, you're pretty easygoing, so it's just nice. And if I ask you to do something, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not too good for anything, which is nice.
Yep.
So yeah, it was good. It was really good. But I think the main reason why you're here is persistence, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean,
just because you get hung up and you know so many videographers, photographers, and you think of, like, okay, these are the three people that I would want to use, and then all of them are busy. Especially on, like, a migrator day,
mm-hmm.
per se, where it's like, oh, shit, I just got a phone call. Geese are here. Who can we call? You know, who's the local? Who is...
Yeah.
Whatever.
A lot of that stuff, too, is, like, I'd message Cal. Like, I'd text you, like, on a Saturday if something got canceled.
Yeah.
That was... I texted you a lot that season because almost all my things were getting canceled because nobody had birds.
Yeah.
So I'd just send you a text message on, like, Friday night saying, hey, my stuff for the weekend got canceled if you need anybody.
Yep.
And, like, you didn't, but... I was in your mind at
least.
But
a couple times we did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. Would you say reaching out, like getting, you know, trying to get your name out there, trying to get stuff, was it like a positive? Did you have a lot of positive, you know, conversations, or was it like a really frustrating, difficult thing?
Nobody was negative. Nobody's going to like say, hey, don't reach out to me. Like, they're going to say, oh, I don't need anyone right now, or they're not going to respond, or they're going to talk to you. You're going to have a conversation and get to know them. Nobody's going to say, don't message me ever again. I don't need you. I don't want to talk to you. Like, the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to say no, or you're going to get ignored, which, like, whatever. There's thousands of people you can talk to, message, work with.
Yeah.
If you get ignored by one person, it's whatever.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Well,
you've been ignored a lot in your life, haven't you?
Yeah.
Not only by your parents, but women.
Yep.
So he's used to it.
Yeah, exactly.
When you look like Thomas the Train, there's not a whole lot you can do. You know?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Now we love Thomas the Train.
Yep.
Big TT fans.
Big TT guys. And so hence why you're such a good fit here.
I got my own book and my own TV show eventually.
True.
That's all that matters.
True, dude.
Because you were just, I think I can, I think I can,
exactly.
I think I can.
Carter probably doesn't even, do you know what we're talking about?
The Blue Train.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah, the Blue Train.
I started to double check, man. A lot of the stuff we talk about, you don't know about.
Just movies.
Right.
And TV shows.
Kid shows, though.
Yeah.
He's right there.
That's true.
He just stopped watching him a couple years ago. So
stop.
Never quit.
So what would you say is like your big advice for people trying to do what you're doing?
Just do it. Just keep working. If nobody's going to hire you, go out and do it with friends. Like, I do it for free. Nobody's going to pay you for your first year. Like, they shouldn't, at least, from the business standpoint. If you've never done it before or you've done it three times, you can't ask for $400 a day. It just doesn't make sense. You have to have some body of work. You can get that with going for free with outfitters or even going with your friends. Like, your friend group goes out and hunt. Like, that's how you're into hunting. Go and film instead of shoot.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you need to do. You just need to get some body of work so you can show people you can work.
Yep.
And then from there, you can start charging people once your quality goes up and once you have more work to show that you know what you're doing and can give them what they want.
I think another thing a lot of people think is like that if you don't have the experience, you can't ask necessarily like to go with someone or, you know, whatever it is. And a lot of people have this like imposter syndrome, you know, where they feel like, well, I'm not that experienced at this yet. So I don't want to go out there and like look for work and say that, you know, I have this experience or whatever because I can't say that.
Yeah.
Well, like, you're never going to get the experience if you don't go out there and try to do it somehow, some way.
Exactly.
And so, like, you're better off just, like, giving it a shot and seeing what happens.
Yeah. Like, a couple of the hunts I went on, like, last 2 years ago, 1 year, I don't remember, but it was, like, big outfitters paying me to go out where I would have never assumed they'd hire someone like me who's only been doing it for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But I just messaged them, talked to them, got to know them, and they
hired
me.
Right timing.
Yeah.
Yep, timing worked out.
Yeah.
That's half of it too, man. It's just literally just like timing.
Yep.
Just like Joey said, like, you're just waiting on a guy. You just need a guy, like, suddenly. You know?
Exactly.
Or, yeah, you message somebody and they haven't said anything and you reach back out and then just like randomly at that moment. I think Ben even said that when he was here with us too. Like, if they're looking for someone for something, a lot of it is just like timing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's just like lining up. What do you need right now?
Over the off season, I like would try to book clients to go out and take pictures and film, and if I didn't book with them, I still had a list of people I'd contact if I had an opening or I had a cancellation. Like that weekend, I just sent them a message saying, hey, I got a cancellation, my weekend's free, do you need anything?
Yeah.
And I'd give them a discounted rate if that's what I had to do, just something to get out there and do it and get some money for it, or just get out there and
have the experience.
Yep.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing that you've learned about yourself, like, in the last, like, 4 years of doing this? Not about the work, about yourself.
I learn a lot better from just doing it instead of watching videos on it, if that makes sense. Like, I learn from experience. So getting out there, doing it for free, doing it for cheap, whatever, is better than watching 100 hours of YouTube videos on it, in my personal experience.
Yeah.
Like, getting to know how to use my camera better, getting to know how to get shots better, edit better,
just
is a lot easier to do when you're getting, like, you're needing to do it rather than watching YouTube videos on it and trying to learn from that.
What do you think at this point is, like, one of your biggest skills? Maybe not even just as, like, just in photography, but just as a person in general.
Getting what needs to be done. Just getting it out.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be good enough quality. It might not be the top tier, but if it needs to go out in 3 hours, I'll get it done.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt this podcast. My wife's water just broke, so I got to roll.
Hell yeah, dude. All right, love you guys.
Have fun.
Have fun. Be safe.
Drive safe.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Holy shit. All right, before we get back into it, Carter, this podcast is brought to you by First Light. And I know you had a chance this year to try out some First Light.
For sure.
Can you just tell me what your favorite piece of First Light is that you had this year?
The bibs that are, I believe, coming out soon. I got to
try
out.
Yeah, this year.
They were a game changer.
Yeah.
Wore them from October through the few days I got to go ice fishing. They're just awesome.
And I know we talked about them a little on the pod with Logan. Mm-hmm. So I think that's totally fair. What's your favorite part about them?
Waterproof knee pads.
Mm-hmm.
They fit nice and they are not too hot. You just layer underneath and they're awesome.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Go to firstlight.com. They have some sick waterfall stuff. You guys are going to love it. We've loved it all year. Okay, Carter. So what would you say has been the most difficult part about doing what you've been doing so far?
To begin with, it was just getting a chance.
Yeah.
Getting a chance to have someone trust into you and to pay money for your services.
Mm-hmm.
Once you had that, then you could kind of just say, like, if someone asked you if you have experience, you have experience. You have been paid to do something. And then you can show them that work. But other than that, to do photography and videography, it costs a lot to do it, like, high quality. The gear is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
I started out with cheaper stuff. Like, my first camera was, like, $300.
Yep.
But now it's, like, a lot more than that.
Right.
So,
Every time we go out on a hunt, maybe some people don't, like, realize either, but bare minimum in the field, there's probably minimum of $10,000 for the camera equipment.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember going on a hunt with Connor one time to film, and I remember him in some troubling waters being like, there's about $20,000 worth of camera gear in here right now.
Well, like, my camera's at the point, my SD cards aren't SD cards anymore. They're $500 each.
Right.
So, just two cards that are in my camera, $1,000.
Yeah.
So, it's a heavy investment, which you don't need to do.
Right. No, you don't need to start there.
No.
No, like, you're going to start out with, I mean, even if you went and bought, like Carter said, $300 body.
Yep.
And if you can get the right lens and just kind of figure a few things out, you can go out there and do it.
If you're going to take pictures for hunting, 70 to 200, that would be the first lens I'd buy, for sure.
Yeah.
It is the best.
What overall has been your experience with us so far? Like, tell me a little bit about, like, what you've learned, what you've realized, you know, like, any of that type of stuff.
It's the same thing going into any job. Like, I've worked 4 or 5 jobs before, like, coming to here, like, actual jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to learn what the people like. You need to learn their tastes. Like, you and Joey have different tastes than me. You guys have different tastes in each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the first couple months, it was just kind of working out what you liked, what you didn't like. And then once we got into a groove of it, it's gone pretty smoothly, I think.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Yeah, we've been able
family.
To yeah, do a lot better stuff and continuing to grow. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. What's one thing you've learned about, like, the social media, just like the way running a channel works, like what it takes, like what goes into it, the ins and outs of the analytics? Like, tell me a little about what you've just general takeaways and stuff from that.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. Like, each week I send stuff to Cal to get approval, to get everything, like, scheduled out. Like, we talk and figure out what's going out this week. That alone, to put together first, takes me a few hours. So that's a few hour investment before scheduling stuff, before posting stuff, anything like that. So a lot of work goes into it. And a lot of people try to do it and just either don't do it well enough or don't realize how much it takes until they actually do it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what gives someone more success or not is just how much time they're willing to put in. Like, if I have to put in 15 hours of work to get something done and I'm going to get paid for 3 hours, I'll do it if it means I'll keep the job and keep everything going smoothly.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing because, like, I mean, a lot of people ask us, like, you know, a lot of people try to start a channel, and I am, like, openly encouraging everybody and anybody who wants to help people duck and goose hunt or hunt anything in general. Like, I'm all for that. I want that. And there's a lot of people out there who are insane personalities and, like, super cool and very knowledgeable people that could have a great channel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there is just absolutely, like, and this is something that took Joey and I, like, so long to figure out too. You know, you go through, like, you figure out like what it takes to that you have to put into it, you know? Like what do you have to do? How do you have to create a schedule of content? And yeah. like having you has been instrumental in our ability to like project and plan and like work on new segments and work through pieces of it. And I just think a lot of people don't necessarily see like all the stuff that goes into, you know,
yeah.
our operation of things. And beyond us, we're tiny. I mean, if you think about like what goes into some of the operations of guys like, I mean, Born and Raised or Hushin or
Meat Eater.
I mean, yeah, Meat Eater. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it is truly remarkable. It is unbelievable. You know, like yeah. when you think about how much you see Barstool Sports, right? The amount of content they create and pump out and like what they do. It's just, that's insane.
Yeah.
And that is what like Meat Eater, you know, like that is the trajectory that they're on.
Yep.
And that is like,
it's not just a small little thing in the basement anymore.
No,
it's
dude.
Like massive.
It's massive. Yeah. And that's, yeah, that's crazy. Right. Like that's the goal. And I think, yeah, I think a lot of people do start out like they want to make cool videos and that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. But man, it's going to take a lot of them.
Yep.
it is going to take a lot of them, man. But yeah, it's incredible. What have you learned about like the industry? Like what is it, you know, do you feel like you grasped like what an ambassador was and like how they worked with the company, do you think, before working with us?
A little bit. There's a lot more nuances to it once you
yeah.
like, are actually in the industry kind of and like knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
Rather than looking from the outside saying, oh, that guy's wearing that gear. When you get into it, you're like, oh, he's probably getting paid to wear that gear or he's doing this. He's sponsored by that. Like knowing more about that, it's pretty interesting. There's a lot more than you just see on surface level.
Yeah. And a lot more that those ambassadors do.
Yeah.
And like plan out and work on launches and all that stuff.
And the content they have to submit.
And research and development of products and like what goes into that.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah. And there is like obviously a different level between like, you know, a pro staff and like, you know, someone who's working kind of hand in hand with the company to develop things. But yeah, that's kind of a crazy nuance to it a little yeah. bit. Who's the most interesting person you've met so far? Working with us.
Interesting person.
Yeah. Or just like someone that you just like, yeah. Who's one of your favorite guests or yeah. Just like interesting ass people.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Derek is pretty cool. Derek Helms.
Yeah. Derek Helms.
I like Derek.
Yep.
I kind of want to look at a list of the guests we've had to try to jog my memory.
Robert Spalding.
Yep.
Who you didn't meet in person though.
No, I didn't get to meet in person.
Ron Hendrickson, the goose guy.
Yeah, he was interesting.
He's an interesting cat for sure. Yep. Love that dude. And the fucking, I mean, he has a live goose here. That was crazy.
Yep. I'd already met Nick Johnson before, but
yeah.
Nick Johnson
he's
for
just,
sure.
He's just a, yeah. He's a great dude. Personality.
Yep. Gavin.
Yeah.
He's different.
Yeah, Gavin. Yep. 100%.
Who else have we had on here? Had Wade. I like Wade.
Yeah, Ben Brennigan.
Ben, yep, he's pretty cool.
Love Ben.
Eric and Cody were cool.
Yeah. Have you met some people that, like, you really looked up to or that, you know, like, you were when you were in the moment of meeting them, you were like, this is fucking cool?
I think the closest to that was probably Wade Shoemaker.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because that's who I looked up to when yeah. I started. Like, he was the first guy I looked at.
Yeah.
But other than that, there hasn't been a lot because I wasn't, a lot of like the Sean Stahl, that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's before.
That was before me. So like yeah. that stuff, I didn't
some of the OGs
much.
Aren't as much of OGs to you.
Yeah, and my dad used to hunt a lot. He stopped hunting when I got to like 7, 8-ish.
Yeah.
So I was only hunting with friends, and it wasn't like hardcore,
yep,
you can call it, until I was like probably 14, 15 when I could start driving and stuff.
Yeah.
So there was a big gap of like time there where I didn't like really watch waterfowl shows, anything like that.
Yeah.
So a lot of those like old guys, like not old guys, but like, I don't know how to put it better. More established guy. I don't want to call Sean old, but.
No, dude, Sean's old, bro. It's fine. I'll tell him.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of those guys, like yeah. I didn't know much about until I saw Joey, like kind of freaking out about him and
yeah.
meeting him. But yeah, yeah. I think Wade, Derek was pretty cool.
Scott, who you probably already yep. have met, though.
Yep. Scott. We haven't had a podcast with Scott while I've been doing it.
We did, though. Oh, you weren't here that right.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
But.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Well, we were going to do another debate thing, but Joey left. All right, so you haven't been able to hunt that much.
Recently?
Yeah.
Within the last 3 years,
right.
I think I've shot a gun on a hunt two times.
That's kind of sad. How do you feel about that?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
The first few years when I was like starting to do it, I didn't care one bit to shoot a gun. This last year, I was a little bit more like, you know, it'd be fun to go out and hunt. Like, not even like when we're in Idaho, Canada. Like, I don't really care there because I'm doing my job. But, like, hunting more with friends is kind of what I have been wanting to do. Because when I was starting to, like, start out, when I hunted with friends, I was taking pictures to get content for myself. So,
yeah.
I didn't get to, like, actually hunt on most of those hunts other than one.
Yeah.
So, within the next 3-4 years, I'd like to start shooting a little more, just hunting with friends even.
Yeah.
But when I'm starting out, I mean, you gotta work. You gotta get stuff done.
Yeah, if you can take pictures and that's what you're trying to do, then that's what you're trying to do.
I know eventually, if I keep doing this, then I'll be able to take pictures and hunt.
Yep.
And have it be my job.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty cool.
That will be pretty cool.
Takes a little bit to get there.
Dude, we'll have to get a hunt this year. We'll have to video. We'll have to get another person to video and you hunt.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. We're putting you on camera, dude. 100%.
Well, after I beat Joey in the trap shooting, I don't know if he'll want to.
Oh, he'll still want to.
Yeah.
For sure, because then he'll go into, like, the whole thing about, well, it's different with birds.
Yep.
So he'll need to see you do it with birds, too.
Yep. Yeah.
And, honestly, that might be a worse spot for you to be in.
For sure.
Because you haven't shot a gun at birds very much the last 3 years.
I will say,
uh-huh.
The 3 times I've shot, 3 shell shot, 3 birds killed.
I don't know that.
One was in Wisconsin with Joey, behind my blind, 1 shot, bought my license. Yep.
I'll ask Joey.
You should.
Okay.
That's pretty sweet. Other than that, I mean, one was on a duck hunt, I shot once, but other than that, I'm a pretty good shot.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yep.
You're in trouble. I'm not as worried for you on the sporting clays.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably, like, I still do think you're probably going to lose.
I don't, but yeah.
But, and then even if you don't, though, then the problem is, like I said, you are going to get, like, we are going to get another videographer then take you out hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you don't do well that day, then it's over.
It's going to be tougher because I'm not used to watching birds come in and shoot. It's a lot different.
I know.
So
I know, dude. I know. You're nervous about it.
First shot, I'm going to miss, and then Joey's just not going to stop talking about
it. No,
yeah,
he won't.
I know.
Yeah, even if you shoot your limit, 3 bang, bang, bang after that.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. he'll still.
Yeah, I'm fully aware.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. So that's where, like, it's a lose-lose for you.
Yep.
Either
sure
way.
Is. For sure. Sure is.
But there was no way it could be a win-win either.
No.
So if that makes you feel better about it.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, yeah, you're kind of fucked.
I just can't miss. That's it.
Yeah, can't win, you mean.
No, I'm just not going to miss.
Oh, yeah, you can't miss.
No, I can't miss one
shot. No, yeah, if we get into a live hunting situation and birds come in and you're shooting on camera,
mm-hmm.
you can't miss.
No, I know.
Yeah, if you miss, dude, Joey's going to, you're going to never live that down.
Nope.
So that's my advice to you, don't miss.
Yep.
But that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
For sure. And I'm glad you said it because now I'm going to make sure it's on like a sick location or something.
Yep.
And we'll be somewhere super dope, and it'll be like greenheads, like right in your grill,
mm-hmm.
and then you're gonna miss one.
I'm gonna miss all 3 shots.
Yeah, the first on camera
volley. Yep.
Yep. And then it's over, dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm fully aware.
Yeah. Where would be if you could go like next year? If you could hunt one place, where would you want to hunt?
I'd like to eventually hunt down in the timber. Like I went with Straight Lake, and that place was just insane.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hunt once down there, but other than that, I just want to do more field duck hunts. They're just so fun.
Yeah.
Just so casual.
Have you hunted the timber or just video or
just
photos?
Photo and video. I haven't hunted.
Wow.
It was sweet.
That's
though.
Probably, that must have been hard actually.
No.
It was cool. It was probably so cool, but like how many days did you do that for?
2 days. They had their 8-man limit by 7:30.
Wow. On day 2, I'd have been chomping at the bit.
No.
I would have been like, oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Because
that place is insane.
It's dumb. It's dumb.
Insane.
Yep. It's pretty sweet. But
what's the coolest place that you've been to take pictures?
Either there.
Or to work, I guess, in the industry.
Either there or Idaho. Idaho was awesome.
Yeah.
Canada, yeah. If Canada looked cooler, I would have said Canada because we killed so many birds all the times I went up there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, yeah, probably Idaho or Arkansas.
There's something North Dakota roughing it about Canada.
Yeah, it's just North Dakota.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, for and sure.
Saskatchewan especially.
Yeah.
Manitoba was a little different, but not much.
Yeah. Where would be your bucket list outside of the timber?
Honestly, just...
I mean, bucket list.
Yeah. Really, field hunting. That's all. I like field hunting. It's so fun.
You can go anywhere.
I know.
All right, you want to be in a Minnesota field?
Maybe not Minnesota, South Dakota, Mallard.
South Dakota Mallard field?
Yeah.
Okay. I get it.
In layouts, not A-frames.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, dude, you haven't voiced your opinion that much about this. Tell me why you hate A-frames so much.
They suck.
Why?
Your cover sucks. They see you right above you.
Yeah.
And for filming, it's way worse, in my opinion, than layouts.
Really? I've actually heard the opposite.
I know. But for layouts, if you got a long lens, you can just rest it right on the lip.
Yeah.
So it's so stable. It's perfect. I've got the layout filming down to a T.
What layout do you use?
The big-ass tangle-free one. I bought it. It's awesome. I don't remember what it's called, but you can curl up in a ball in there and sleep. It's perfect.
Damn.
It's pretty
sweet. Sounds comfy.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's the XL layout 3.0 or whatever.
I don't know. It was like $400. It was dumb.
First, they're all $400 now.
It's their biggest one.
Yeah.
That's what I bought. And I mean, it's great for camera gear. You can just have it all next to you, and you have a lot of room to move around and follow the birds. So I like filming out of layouts, but A-frames just, I haven't had good luck with them other than Canada.
This podcast is also brought to you by Soundgear and Carter. Have you noticed that you're able to hear birds better as a camera guy with sound gear in?
For sure. And also, sound gear is the biggest thing, I'd say, for camera guys to get when you can afford getting the sound gear like Phantoms.
Yeah.
Because you don't shake when people shoot. That is the biggest thing I notice. Like, you're filming and people shoot and you don't have ear protection, you shake.
Because there's
a gunshot in your ear.
Yeah.
With the sound gear, nothing. It's awesome. That was the biggest thing I noticed from buying them.
Yeah, that's true, man. 100%. It is insane how much they help. You can use our discount code MWF125, or actually scratch that. It still works, but Flyways.
Yep.
That's $125 off a pair of Instant Fits. But if you want to do the Phantoms, the phone number is on the screen right now on YouTube, which, by the way, if you want to watch these episodes, the podcast, all full episodes are available on the Midwest Flyways podcast channel. So if you just search Midwest Flyways podcast, that channel has all the full videos you guys can go watch there.
Or it's in the Instagram bio. You can find it there too.
Or it's in the Instagram bio. Or the TikTok link tree.
Yep. Anywhere.
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 Or message Joey and ask for it.
I'm sure. Exactly.
I'm sure he'd love to send you a link.
What would be the one lens you would buy?
Like, if I'm starting.
Yeah, you can only have one lens.
70 to 200. 2.8.
Really? 2.8. Yep. Isn't that make it pretty tough, though, for, like, getting video of guys in the blind and stuff?
In the blinds, yeah.
Yeah. But
if you're filming a YouTube video, you might want something like a 24 to 120 or whatever your camera offers. But for starting out pictures, 70 to 200 for sure, any day of the week. That's what I have on when I'm taking pictures 95% of the time now.
To be honest, too, you could probably, no matter what, you know, camera you're shooting on, a 50 millimeter lens, like, pretty cheap typically.
Yep.
So you could probably buy a 7200 and then just cheap out and get like a 1.8 50 mil.
Yep, 50 or 35.
That'd probably be enough for the blind.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could probably make that work.
Yeah. I have now a 17 to 24, 24 to 70, 70 to 200, and a 150 to 600, I think, are all of them.
Yeah.
And that just covers everything. I have a 24 to 122, but I don't use that very often. Once you know you're going to do it, investing in the gear rather than buying stuff, like all the money I made for the first 2 or 3 years just went into gear, constantly went into gear so I could buy better stuff and get the range of lenses I need for filming close, far, whatever I need. That's what I did with my money for making it. But
yeah. Is duck hunting your favorite type of hunting?
For sure. Yep. I just like being around people doing it, like deer hunting. Like, I shot a big deer when I was a kid.
Oh, shit, Carter.
It was like a...
Did you have training?
Shot it with my bow.
Was it your grandpa? Did he teach you in the basement?
No. It was like a 163 or something in Minnesota, which is pretty decent.
Pretty decent, yeah, yeah, I'd say.
But
when you were nine.
I can show you the picture. It was like 9 or 10.
Like, did someone put you in a stand there, like, sit here and stay here, or were you with somebody?
I was with my dad.
Yeah.
But we were bowing. But since then, I've kind of, like, meh, not really wanted to deer hunt anymore. I'm going to go this year again since I started shooting bow again. But
yeah,
that turkey hunting is kind of meh. It's just too easy for all those turkey hunters out there. It's too easy.
I thought you said your dad quit hunting when you were 7 or 8.
Other than deer.
Okay.
Waterfowl. He used to do like waterfowl, spearing, fishing, everything.
He still does big game a little bit, doesn't he?
Yep. Big game. He goes on trips and then deer hunts.
Yeah.
But turkey, yeah, it's way too easy. And then pheasant hunting is pretty fun. I started doing that a little more last year.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Just watching a dog and walking through some Minnesota grass.
Would you get a dog?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. That's in the plans.
Yeah, within the next, I'll say 1 to 3. One to 3 years, I'll be getting a lab.
1 to 3. It's a good range.
Yeah. It just
gives you a little leeway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I will for sure. I just want to make sure I have time to train it well.
Yeah. That's a big thing.
Yeah, I don't want to get a dog where it either sits at home a lot when I'm traveling or just doesn't get training.
For sure.
Just gets handed treats whenever it wants one.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't want that.
You don't want that.
No.
That's a bad deal.
Yep.
I've seen it before.
Yep.
I've seen it before enough times.
Yep.
100%. You're from Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago, Minnesota.
Yep.
Probably
a small town.
Yep, 400 some people. Small town.
Do you like living closer to the cities better?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I like living closer. I live close to St. Cloud now, and it's nice to be able to have civilization near you, because mm-hmm. before it was an hour to do anything,
yep,
which kind of sucks. So I like living near St. Cloud where I can do stuff, but still I can drive 2 hours on a Friday and be out in Chicago for 3 days.
Yep.
I like living near the city better just because there's more stuff to do, but I can also, like, we have land out near Chicago and everything, so I can go out there and do it whenever I want hunting. So that's my preference.
A lot more opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because living out there, there's not a lot of people out there. So yeah. If you're trying to get work, you gotta drive far.
What is your ideal hunting setup? If you had a dream tonight and it was the perfect hunting dream, what would that look like?
My hunting or filming?
You're hunting.
It would be a Sunday in November. Sunny. 27 degrees, 10 to 15 mile per hour winds.
Okay.
In a dry field in western Minnesota.
Corn.
Layouts. Yep. Corn. Corn, yep. Stubble. Yep.
Hunting.
Hunting mallards.
Mallards.
Yep. No goose decoys. No nothing. Just mallards.
Just mallard decoys.
Yep.
Just mallards.
Just spinners.
Yeah. Just spinners.
Yep. Just spinners.
Spinners.
That's all you need.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I love that, man.
Just dry field hunting. Have you gone out and done a lot of dry field hunting, like killing a lot of mallards?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've had great field hunts, if that's what you mean. Have you, like, week after week after week just beat the shit out of mallards in a dry cornfield? No.
Have you had it where they are, like, landing on you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I like.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
It's
200
cool.
Mallards, you watch tornado right into your face.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I could watch that every day.
I could too, man. I'm not saying I couldn't either.
Yeah. And then yeah. No mud. I like that. No waders, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snow.
A little snow is fun. A little snow is fine. As long as you can still drive out in the field. Because walking out in those cornfields aren't fun. Especially because more than half of them are chisel plowed out there.
For sure.
That sucks.
Like one day after they pull them.
No, at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Guy coming behind.
Yep.
Yeah, chisel plow.
Yep. If they could chisel plow them before they harvest them, they would.
For sure would.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. True that. All right, now give me your dream setup if you're taking videos and photos.
Canada.
Just in general.
Just doesn't matter.
It's just so good. It's so cool that it's just like whatever.
I went up there for a total of like 10 days this year. I think we killed nearly 1,000 birds total.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's insane.
It's just dumb. You get so many opportunities to take pictures, video. Like, if you mess up on one flock, that's fine. There's 30 more coming.
Yeah.
That's the best thing you can do.
For sure.
Yeah. It's awesome. And the people up there are awesome.
Yeah.
They're so nice.
For sure. True that.
Yep.
So, one thing that I know about you is that you don't always love travel.
Yep.
And it's something that is very much a part of what you've been doing.
Yep.
What have you learned about that? And, like, how have you learned more to deal with it? Because I have noticed, like, recently, it seems like you've been more comfortable a little bit. I know some of it is just going and doing it and just being in so many different experiences that you kind of get comfortable with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, tell me a little about that.
It's a necessary evil for what I do.
Yeah.
So I have to do it. Like, there's no way around it other than getting a different job.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of accepted that. And also, the last few trips have been with you guys, and I know you guys a lot better. So mm-hmm. going with people you know, it's a lot better than driving 15 hours in one day by yourself to meet a random group of 8 Arkansasians. That's mm-hmm. it's a little
intimidating.
Yeah, they could kill you easily. That's in the back of my mind for sure.
Straight panic.
And if you guys kill me, that's fine.
They'll know it was us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Not that anyone would care, but they'll know it was you.
No, people would care. They'd wonder if life insurance policies and yeah. all that type of stuff.
Yep.
So.
Just who gets what?
shut up. Yeah, it is definitely a part of what we do.
Yep.
It is inevitable. I know you and I talked a little in Canada.
Yep.
And it's just like you get more and more comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And I think another big thing too is as you progress in it, you are staying less and less in like a guide house.
Yeah.
You know, or like just getting thrown into random situations. Like that is one thing that when you first start, like you do have to just do whatever.
Yep.
And you are going to be uncomfortable and it's going to be awkward and you're going to be in positions where you don't necessarily know the people there. You don't know how things are going to go. And you can tell when people have done that enough and they've become comfortable enough with themselves that they just are fine with any situation.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are very much so like a little bit more uncomfortable. But you're not doing yourself any benefit by making yourself more uncomfortable.
Exactly.
You have to go.
Yep.
If you want to do what you're doing and it requires travel, then you're going to have to do it. And mm-hmm. so it is just finding that.
You just got to jump in 2 feet first.
Yep. And then just keep growing. And as you grow, you're staying in nicer and nicer hotels, hopefully.
And it cannot get harder than the first time you go.
True that.
Unless you get killed. That would be tough.
That wouldn't be tough because you'd be dead. All right. Well, Carter, let's get a little outro music. Want to thank you guys for listening. I know this is a little shorter episode this week, but obviously Joey's having a baby mid-podcast. So, you know, we've improvised a little bit. And I did take notes and we'll be better next week. And hopefully Joey will be back with us, but I don't know. And if he's not, we'll find a guest.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening. Appreciate you guys. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel for the podcast, our YouTube channel, our Instagram, our TikTok. Just go check us out everywhere. We appreciate it.
Leave a review congratulating Joey on his new kid.
True. Yep.
He would love that.
True.
True.
All right. Thanks, guys. One more thing, Carter.